you, Miss Melissa. That was good. Got your Bibles turned with me this morning to the 16th chapter of the Gospel of St. Luke. God's been laying on my heart to preaching on something that's not a popular subject. And don't hear it much in this hour. It's heavy upon me. 16th chapter of the Gospel of Luke. Folks, I'm going to tell you, we're living in a day and hour, and people, we've all forgotten how terrible hell is. It's an awful place. You say, well, I think most of us are saved this morning. I hope that's true. But let me share this with you. If we are saved, we still don't need to forget how terrible it is. You know why? Multitudes and multitudes of people are headed there. What are we doing to try to stop them? Hell is a real place. A lot of you heard me tell it a lot of times. Sometimes God has to remind me of it. For 4 years before I was really converted, I dreamed I died and went to hell one night, just a teenager. Barely a teenager. Wasn't no surprise when I got to thinking about it later. Night God really brought me in. Brother Scott Trent, never seen him before that meeting, hadn't seen him since. But you know what, he was preaching that Saturday night. I've thought about it a lot of times before I realized how come he preached on that. I know why he preached on it. He didn't know I dreamed that dream. He didn't know I was going to be sitting out there, but God did. I believe that. So I want to tell you, if you've forgotten how awful hell is, I hope and pray this morning that we'll read enough of these verses, and that's all we may do, a lot of them, just read them. God's already said it. Thank God I don't have to go there now. Hallelujah. You don't have to go there. We'll read a verse probably directly and tell you who it was prepared for. He said it's prepared for the devil and his angels. But it's an everlasting. I think about we singing that song when we all get to heaven. The only thing I can think about that, particularly right now, is the only thing I know would be anything that's alike in heaven and hell was both of us eternal. I don't know anything else. All else would be opposite. Hell's a place of torment. Heaven's a place of rest. Hell's a place of misery without relief. It's a place of sorrow. Listen, without any hope. It's a place where it's always death without end. Back to Lake of Fire is the second death. How awful it is. I was thinking, we were singing that song, we all get to heaven. The only music you hear if you go to hell is misery and moaning and groaning and screaming and crying. Can't get out. It's over. There no person ever go. And this scripture tells us that from heaven, once you get there to hell, there no one ever leave hell to get to heaven. They there for eternity. They'll come now, those who are in hell now, the only thing's going to happen to them, that they'll be resurrected and go into their bodies and be cast into the lake of fire. What the book says. But no one ever goes there from heaven. If you, it's been a minute. I remember reading a tract one time.
years ago. A young girl went to hear a message, and a man preached on hell. And she got a conviction, but her daddy had already told her. He thought it was all fanatic. He thought it was all just a bunch of, you know what? He didn't believe in it. But she went and he told her, said, "You better not. You better not let that preacher or anybody else convince you to go to that altar no matter what." They said, that tract said, she stood there and wept and cried while the invitation was given. Holy Ghost dealt with her heavily. But she didn't go. She's afraid her daddy would really put it on her when he got home if he found it out. Well, her name was May, they said. Wasn't long before she got real sick. But you know, it's, a lot of people say, well, this is sad. It is sad. But that night must have been the night that she sealed her doom by saying no to the risen Savior. When she got sick, even the daddy got scared himself and he said, "Somebody come help." Someone would come try to pray with her and someone would try to come to talk to her, and all she could say, "Oh, I see this hell. I'm falling into it." And on and on and on I could go. But this, and she died in agony, scared to death because of the judgment that she was coming to face. Now, I want to tell you something. I'm telling you, we live in a day and hour when so much has been said, and thank God for the love of God. And people's even saying that God's too loving to send anybody to hell. You better not believe that. I'm telling you, God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. Whosoever believeth in him should not perish. Perish, there it is. But have everlasting life. If God spared not the angel that sinned, but cast them down into hell, how shall he spare you? If God spared not the old world, but saved Noah. Listen, he's not going to spare you outside of Christ. He spared not his own Son, but gave him up for us all. If he didn't spare him, he will not spare you or any of the rest of us if we deny our blessed Lord. If we trample him, he said, listen, he came to us all. He came to us. He didn't come to condemn us, but he said this: he that believeth not upon him is already condemned. He's already condemned because he believeth not upon the only begotten Son of God. And God will not spare, listen, will not spare us if we don't, listen, if we reject his Son. Because he didn't spare him. If he'd been going to spare us, why in the world? If he'd been going to spare us outside of his Son, why did he not spare him? Why didn't he spare his Son? Just do it anyhow. He don't work that way. He's holy. He's just. And the only way he can spare you or spare me is through Jesus Christ, our wonderful Savior. Hallelujah. Wonderful Lord. That's why he is. He's my wonderful Lord. But hell's an awful place. I'm telling you, it's awful. Now let's read some in Luke chapter number 16, verse number 19. Begin reading. "There was a certain rich man who was clothed in purple and fine linen." I've heard people call this a parable. They don't say it's no parable. They said this certain rich man. Our Lord told it. Our Lord said it. He said, "Clothed in purple and fine linen, fared sumptuously every day." I mean, he had it made in this world. But I'm telling you, there's two worlds. There's another world waiting this. Everybody, I'm talking about one world or another. "And there was a certain beggar named Lazarus, which was laid at his gate full of sores," and says, "and desired to be fed with the crumbs which fell from the rich man's table. Moreover, the dogs came and licked his sores." One of them had everything he wanted, and didn't hardly have anything to eat. But he said in verse 22, "And it came to pass that the beggar died Oh, I like this part. Was carried by the angels under Abraham's bosom. I thank God those angels attend those that know the Lord. They come to that deathbed. They come to that person and carry you home. Thank God, I want to tell you something. You don't cease to be when this body lays down. You hear me? No, you don't cease to be. No, you're going to live somewhere forever and ever and ever. That's why people are so lightly and so careless with the things of God. It disturbs my heart and burdens my heart. We're living in such an hour as we're living in. Don't understand what it's all about. But he said the angels came and carried him to Abraham's bosom. The rich man also died and was buried. He lifted up his, he said, the Bible said in verse 20, and in hell he lifted up his eyes, being in torments. Hell's a place of torment. You see that? He's in torment and seeth Abraham afar off in his bosom. Oh, listen. He saw Lazarus, Abraham afar off, and Lazarus in his bosom. He saw Abraham, saw Lazarus. Listen, I tell you, I bet old Lazarus looked different the last time he saw him. But he saw him in Abraham's bosom. Listen, last time he saw him, he was there and it wasn't something to eat. He would have just took the crumbs off his table. But no, in here he sees him in a different place, in a different position. Thank God. He said in verse 24, and he cried and said, Father Abraham, I'll tell you one thing. There'll be some crying in hell. He was crying to the Father Abraham. He said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me. I'm going to tell you when you better cry for mercy. Now. It's too late then. It's over. It's over. Cried for mercy on me and send Lazarus that he may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I'm tormented in this flame. Oh, let me tell you something. He said, I don't want a big glass of water. He said, just dip the tip of his finger in water and just let that drop on my tongue and said, that I may, listen, I am tormented in this flame. I want to tell you something. All the rivers of glory, all the rivers of waters of life flowing from the throne of God. There's some things in heaven that will never be in hell. And one of them is, in heaven is all the water in the world, thank God. We can drink from the waters of fountains of living waters and sit down by the water that's flowing from the throne of God. But in heaven, listen, that's heaven. What a heaven that's going to be. But in hell, you won't have one drop of water. You don't want to go there. No wonder that atheist said, if he believed in hell like we say we do, he'd crawl across America on broken glass, rescue one person's soul. Next time the devil tries to make you afraid to talk to somebody about the Lord, and he does, he still does me, tries to make me afraid, tries to say you don't need to say that, you don't need to talk to him. You say, well, I didn't know you heard that. I hear it just as sure as you do. But I want to tell you something. When I think about what eternity is like, I say, devil, you're going to hell. I'm going to try to keep as many from going with you as I can, thank God. That's a church's responsibility. That's our responsibility, that we, by the grace of God, got to snatch them out of the fire. Whew. Hell's an awful place. Terrible. It is terrible. You don't want to go there. Amen. Say, you'll never get good enough in your own to keep from going there. You know what my idea was for years? I'm good as some of them were in the church. I said it. I heard some of them talk. I lived around some of them. I knew some of them. But you know what? Now God zeroed in on me. He said, you better forget about all of them around you. You better look inside. And that's what I did. And that old fella come by, put an arm around me and said, God be merciful to me, a sinner. He said, that's all you got to say. And that's all I knew to say. God, be merciful to me, a sinner. And you know what I found out? I didn't have to think about ever sin. What no way I could have. I just asked him to have mercy on me. And I found out, Brother Billy, he did. Woo! I felt like a ton of weight come off my chest. He gave me victory and deliverance. Thank God I wasn't afraid to lay and go to sleep at night no more. Wasn't afraid to get on the road. If you ever get enough conviction, this is what it takes for some of us. If you ever get enough conviction, you're scared to get on the road, afraid you're going to get killed. You'll be scared to lay down and go to sleep at night, afraid you won't wake up. You'll be afraid of this and afraid of that and live a fearful life. But thank God when you get right with God, you can say, glory to God, I'm His and He's mine. I'm in His hands. I'm in His care. Glory to God. Woo! Glory. Hallelujah. He's wonderful. Yes, He is. Hallelujah. Jesus. My wonderful Jesus. Hey, you can listen. There's not an ounce of peace in hell. And it won't none get there from heaven. Once you go there, it's all over. All sorrow and misery and trouble. It's an awful place. He said, he cried. He said, have mercy on me. I'm tormented. It's a place of torment. But Abraham said to him, son, remember? Can I tell you something? It's only going to be something gnawing at you. If you die and go to hell, you'll remember. You're going to remember. You'll remember when you said no to Christ. You'll remember, listen, all things, a lot of things, being able to remember is going to torment you. He said, you remember in your life, boy, you just thought you had it made. That's what he said. Remember in your life? Now, Lazarus was saved because he didn't go to Abraham's bosom because he was poor or because he didn't have anything to eat. And the rich man didn't go to hell because he's rich. It just happened, this particular passage of Scripture, that's the way it was put to us. Rich man could have been saved. Old Lazarus could have went the other way too. Hey, you're standing in life in this world. Don't make it where you're right with God or not. But I like this. The poor have the gospel preached to them. That's why we can never charge for preaching the gospel. You never charge for witnessing the gospel or sharing the gospel. But I'm going to tell you something. It's all coming from God. Hallelujah. And so he said, son, remember? Do you remember? You remember the home you was raised in? You remember those prayers of mama and prayers of daddy? You remember all those things when I spoke to you through the word and spoke to you through those witnesses, spoke to you through the church, spoke to you here and there, but you didn't listen. Remember. Remember. All your senses. He could see. He could remember. And he could hear because he was talking back and forth. All of his senses. He could feel. He could thirst. It was all still there. Tell you something. That sometimes you'll have a lot of people. He said, I'm on end. I'm just going to wind this thing up and I'll be all right. No, you won't. That's not the answer. You just started. You think this lie. Brother Billy Graham lived almost 100 years old. What a preacher. And you know what? That's not even a drop in the bucket compared to eternity. is it? And it's not. That's right. What a, listen. Hey. Higgins remembered everything. It says, now, in lifetime received, it says, remember that in a lifetime thou received goods and Lazarus evil things. But now, I want to tell you something about that now after this life. That's what really counts. That's what really counts. You see, he said, now he's comforted and you tormented. You may go through some afflictions, you may go through some sufferings, you may go through some torment on this life, but it's temporal, it's short. But listen, the word of God says, you remember? Once Lazarus was, listen, he was tormented, he was hungry, but now, where you going to be in now in eternity? Now in eternity. You ever wish you'd just get saved for anybody you wanted to? And they'd be saved? I have. But you can't. Don't work that way. Main thing that keeps people from coming to the Lord is just pure old self-will and rebelling against God. He sure is. He's rebelling against him. He said, Lord. He said, evil, but now he's comforted and dire tormented. Old Lazarus was comfortable now. Heaven's a comfortable place. Hell's a tormented place. He said in verse 26, besides all this, between us and you, there's a great gulf fixed. One time I preached on this passage of scripture, which I have a lot of times through the last, 48 years. But you know what? One time I preached on the bridgeless gulf. Bridgeless gulf. Now, you know, they can pretty well put a bridge over a big span now. Big water, can't they? But here's one won't be none over. It's bridgeless. There's a gulf fixed between you and me. Between those that die without Christ and those that die in the Lord. There's a gulf fixed. And nobody can't pass. That's why he was saying, I pray. Did you know he prayed in hell? Didn't get no answer though. Not what he wanted. He said, I pray. Listen to what he said. He said, I pray. Where does he say that at? He said, I don't know. In verse 27. Then he said, I pray thee, therefore, Father, that thou wouldest send him to my father's house. Why did he want him to send him to his father's house? He didn't want him to come. He said he had many brothers. He had five. He said, I got five brethren. Lest they also what? Come to this place of torment. He said, send them to my father's house. Preach to them. Tell them. Send them, send somebody to my father's house. You know what? You know what I told them? If they won't hear Moses and the prophets, neither will they hear the one rose from the dead. I've heard people say, what if I just wouldn't get up from the dead? I'd believe it then. No, you wouldn't. God said you wouldn't. He says, if you don't believe this book, if you don't believe what this little old feeble feller saying this morning about this book, what I'm reading it right now, this book. Word of God, you wouldn't believe it if one rose from the dead. That's what he said. He said, I'm not going to do that. There ain't no need to. He said, I pray thee, Father. I'm praying. You see, he cried in hell. He prayed in hell. And all these sins. But it was too late. It was an awful day. It was too late. And I want to tell you something. Folks, church, we better get stirred up about this, about what's in this chapter. Because I'm telling you, people's dying. Did you know I read the statistics? I don't know how they figured it out, but it may be an estimation, probably is. They said, worldwide, Every second, somebody dies. You ever figured how many seconds is in a year? I hadn't, but I've been going to sit down and figure that. Not a lot. I know the 60 in the minute and the 60 minutes in an hour, don't you? And it's 24 hours in a day, and that's about all as far as I know. But I tell you what, that'd be a lot of people in a week, wouldn't it? That's what it said. That many people die. Every second somebody dies. Getting to be a pretty good bunch of them around here. You know what? Who's going to be next? I don't know. So I'm saying this morning to us, if you're hearing lost this morning, you don't want to stay lost. Only way to keep you from going this place is get born again. Get the new birth. Being born again. Hallelujah. That's what he said. Then he said in verse number 20, I have five brethren that may testify unto them. Woo! I got five brethren that needs testifying. Let me ask you a question. You got any brethren you need to testify to? You got any sisters you need to testify to? You got any mamas or daddies? You got any children you need to testify to? Do we? I'm afraid we have. He said, I want them to testify to them. So don't be afraid. Share the word of God. Because I'm telling you, you might keep someone, listen, from dying and going to this awful place. It's terrible. It sure is. He said, they got Moses, in the, look what he said. Abram said to them, they have Moses and the prophets. Let them hear them. Verse 37, he said, nay, Father. Abraham, but if one went from the dead, they would repent. And he said unto them, if they would not hear Moses and the prophets, neither will they be persuaded, though one rose from the dead. It's in the Word of God, right there in the book. If you got a red letter, Jesus was telling us this. Of course, he tells us all of it, really. The whole Word of God's him. He spoke this right here on this earth. You know what? They will not repent. But you know what? Even the rich man said, well, if sit one dead, he didn't have one thing. He said, they'll repent. He realized he didn't repent. And they were one way. You'll never escape this awful place till you come to the place that you're willing. Be sorry for your sins and ask God to have mercy upon you and repent of them and believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Glory to God. But you know what? Sometimes we'll take the Word of God, and I share the Word of God with anyone who wants to know how to be saved. Don't get me wrong. But if they've heard the Word of God and the Holy Ghost is convicting them, I'm going to tell you something. You don't have to take them down the road, Roman road. They can be saved by just bowing their head and saying, Lord, be merciful to me, a sinner. And God will do it. Hallelujah. That's what that old fella said. You mean that Pharisee was praying one day, didn't he? Pharisee just bragging on how good he was, didn't he? And he's telling God how bad that other fella was. Hey, you ain't going to get nowhere like that. Neither would I. But you know what? Well, just be honest and say, Lord, be merciful to me, a sinner. God will be merciful. I could go on that before close. I just want to read a few verses of Scripture. I want to read something. The last book of Isaiah. Then I'm going to go to the gospel. I'm just going to read these verses. I think we don't have time to say anything about them, but they speak themselves. Isaiah, the last verse in Isaiah chapter 66 says, Isaiah 66:24, and they shall go forth and look upon the carcass of the men that have transgressed against me. What God's saying, for their worm shall not die, neither shall their fire be quenched, and they shall be as an horn to all flesh. Hey, what did he say? He said they transgressed against me. And he said that the worm shall not die, and the fire shall not be quenched. That's what he's saying. Well, that's Old Testament, you said. Well, let's go to the New Testament. Let's go to the New Testament. I want to read a few verses. Jesus had a lot said. You know, he had more to say about it than did heaven? He did. Matthew 8, chapter verse 12 says, "But the children of the kingdom shall be cast out into outer darkness." Where? "The children of the kingdom shall be cast to outer darkness." Did you know it's going to be total darkness? I heard people say, "How's that going to be? How's that going to be with the fire?" Nothing possible with God. Don't forget that. "But the outer darkness, there shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth." Awful. Awful place called hell. It's outer darkness. It's weeping and gnashing of teeth. I'm going to read a few other verses in case you haven't read them lately. Go to Matthew 25. Matthew the 25th chapter. Verse number 41. Matthew 25:41 said, "Then shall they say also unto them of the left hand, Depart from me, ye cursed, unto everlasting fire, prepared for the devil and his angels." Now, he prepared it, he said, for the devil and his angels, but he said, these on the left hand's going there also. Look what it said in verse number 46, same chapter. "And these shall go away into everlasting punishment, but the righteous unto ye life eternal." Hallelujah. Now can I say something? Why in the world, apart from depravity and sinfulness and all other things, how in the world and why in the world would anybody in their right mind, somebody said, choose everlasting punishment over life eternal? You said, who is the righteous? Those that have accepted the Lord Jesus Christ and he's robbed them in his righteousness. Thank God that's the righteousness he's talking about. Thank God we do good works, but listen, Jesus robs us in his righteousness. Listen, glory to God. What a difference. You think about that. What a difference in everlasting punishment. What a difference that is in life eternal. Well, let's move on. Go into the Mark the 9th chapter. Mark 9. I'm telling you, the Bible's full of it. Mark 9, verse number 43. "Thy hand offend thee," Mark 9:43, "cut it off. It's better for thee to enter into life maimed than having two hands to go into hell, under the fire that shall never be quenched." where the worm dieth not, and the fire is not quenched. Verse 45, the foot offended, he said the same thing. He said, be cast into hell, and where the fire shall never be quenched. Verse number 47, with the eye offend thee, pluck it out. Better for thee to enter life, kingdom, into the kingdom of God with one eye than having two eyes be cast into hell fire, where the worm dieth not, and the fire is not quenched. Now, does it sound like it's going to go out to you? I don't think it is. It's eternal. And it's an awful thing, no way escaping from it.
Go with me a little farther. He said, preacher, it's not too much of a shouting sermon, I know it, but it needs to get a hold of our hearts.
I'm telling you, it needs to get a hold of our hearts, the church, us of the church, and realize how real it is. If we reach out and rescue the perishing.
Now I'm going to tell you something. How many? I admire firemen, first responders. Many of them went in that tower that day. Some of them didn't come out in 9/11. I admire them when they go to houses and take risks to go in and get somebody, because they're risking their life. How many of us would stand around knowing we could get in there and get somebody and go wake them up? We see our house on fire.
Oh, we just, I better not try it. We wouldn't.
But I'm going to tell you something. Normally, naturally, we'd want to do everything we could to save that person from burning alive. I know one, I wasn't there, but they said, I knew the man had a wreck, trapped him in his car, and he caught a fire, a truck, and caught him on fire. And said all they could hear, they couldn't get him out. He was burned up alive. He was screaming, hollering. You know what? Any way they could have got him, they would have. They would have. And I know, I see Brother Donnie back there. He's a fireman. I know he's been in some, he's small. They sent him in some small places to help rescue somebody. And he's done it. And you don't think we're to do everything to save somebody physically and then care less about saving somebody. Don't let it slip. If you don't know Christ, get that righteousness from him. You'll have eternal life. If you don't. You say, what do I got to do? Just absolutely do nothing in that a while, you'll be there in hell. You don't have to do anything. We're not sinners because we sin. We come in this world sinners. The only one thing, when you come to that age of capability, and I don't believe there's no certain age, some kids come to it quicker. I know when little ones die, we know from Scripture that they go to be with the Lord. God's got them covered. But when a person comes, when a young'un comes, child comes, you don't have to be grown either. When you come to the age of capability, know right from wrong, and know when he sins, and he's heard the gospel. I'm telling you, you don't have to be 18. You ain't even got to be 10. God save you if you're called on him. And so don't wait. Don't put it off. Eternity is long, but you can have a life eternal through our Lord Jesus Christ. What a Savior. What a Savior. Thank God. Thank God. Look at 2 Thessalonians. I got a couple more I want to read. 2 Thessalonians chapter Number one, 2 Thessalonians chapter number 1, verse number 6. Back at the verse number 5. Verse number 5 of 2 Thessalonians chapter 1. Which is a manifest token of the righteous judgment of God. That ye may be counted worthy of the judgment of God for which ye also suffer. Seeing it's a righteous thing with God to recompense tribulation to them that trouble you. Listen what he says. Unto you who are troubled, rest with us. Rest with us. When the Lord Jesus shall be revealed from heaven with his mighty angels in flaming fire, taking vengeance on them that know not God and that obey not the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. Who is it, the ones that don't obey the gospel? Who should be punished with everlasting destruction from the presence of the Lord, from the glory of his power. You know what? It's going to be a sad thing, not only because it's torment, not only because it's a place of darkness, not only because it's a place of never no return from, but I look at this verse of scripture and I see it's an everlasting destruction from the presence of the Lord. Can you imagine being eternally tormented in destruction, onion, torment all throughout eternity without end? But on top of that, it's from the presence of the Lord. Can you imagine being shut out from the presence of the Lord? That'd be torment enough, wouldn't it? Can't imagine it. God help us. From the glory of his power. I'm looking forward. Listen, for the presence of the Lord. I'm looking forward for the glory of his power. I'm looking forward. Verse number 10, when he shall come to be glorified in his saints and to be admired in all them that believe, because our testimony you also believe in that day. Look what he said, be admired in all them that believe. You know what? Don't you admire him? Don't you appreciate him? Don't you say, thank you, Lord, what you've done for me? No, you don't want to be shut out from the presence of God. Never. Don't put him off till he quits dealing with you. I know a lot of people said, I'm going to get saved when I get good and ready. No, you won't. You'll get saved when God's dealing with you and drawing you and calling you and giving you power to become the Son of God. Don't seal your doom. Don't seal your day. Listen, there's a day acceptable. There's coming a day. It'll be over. You don't know when it'll be. Turn with me. To the book of Revelation. I'm going to try to close. God's been laying so heavy on my heart, these scriptures. Revelation 19. I'm just going to read this, refresh our memory on it. Then we're going to go on another verse and as we wind up here, Lord willing. He said in chapter number 19 of Revelation, verse number 11 says, I saw heaven open, hold a white horse, and he that sat upon him called faithful and true. And in righteousness he did judge and make war. His eyes were a flame of fire, and on his head were many crowns. He had a name written that no man knew but he himself.
And he was dipped, and he was clothed with a vestiture dipped in blood. And his name is called the Word of God. You said, if you really love the Lord, you know what you're going to do? You're going to love His Word. Because He is the Word. That's what He said. And the armies which were in heaven followed Him. We come in with Him. Upon white horses, clothed in fine linen, white and clean. And out of his mouth goeth a sharp sword that with it he should smite the nations, and he shall rule them with a rod of iron. He treadeth the winepress of the fierceness of the wrath of Almighty God. He had on his vestiture, on his thigh, a name written: King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And I saw an angel standing in the sun, crying with a loud voice, "Send all the fowls that fly in the midst of heaven, come and gather yourselves together unto the supper of the great God. They may eat the flesh of kings, and the flesh of captains, the flesh of mighty men, the flesh of horses, them that sit on them, and the flesh of all men, both free and bond, both small and great." And I saw the beast and the kings of the earth and their armies gather together to make war against him that sat on the horse and against his army. And the beast was taken, and with him the false prophet that wrought miracles before him, in which he deceived them that had received the mark of the beast and them that worshipped his image. These both were cast alive, hear that, alive, in the lake of fire, burning with brimstone. And the remnant was slain with the sword of him that was set upon the horse, which sword proceeded out of the mouth, and all the fowls were filled with their flesh. Then he said, I saw an angel come down from heaven, chapter 20, verse 1, having the key of the bottomless pit and a great chain in his hand. He laid hold on the old dragon, that old serpent, which is the devil, and cast him bound up him 1,000 years, cast him in the bottomless pit, set a seal upon him that he should deceive the nation no more till the 1,000 years should be fulfilled, and at that he must be loosed a little season. I saw thrones, and they set up on them, and judgments were given to them. I saw the souls of them that were beheaded for the witness of Jesus and for the word of God, and which had not worshipped his beast, neither his image, neither received his mark in their foreheads or in their hands, and they lived and reigned with Christ 1,000 years. Hallelujah. What a wonderful 1,000 years is ahead of us. And the rest of the dead lived not again till the 1,000 years were finished. This is the first resurrection. If you're here still alive, you're going to get up. Amen. And when they're coming back right then, you're going to get up with them. If you're in Christ, died in Christ, and you're still like, hey, you're going to get up with him. We're going to reign with him for 1,000 years. Look what it said in verse number 6. Blessed and holy is he that part in the first resurrection, for over him the second death hath no power, but they shall be priests of God in Christ, shall reign with him 1,000 years. And when 1,000 years is spied, Satan shall be loosed a little season. Of course, I won't read all this, but Satan's going to be loosed a little season. And then look at verse number 11. But look at verse number 10. And the devil that deceived them was cast into the lake of fire and brimstone, where the beast of false prophet are, and shall be tormented day and night forever and ever. The devil himself, I'm going to tell you something. You people, something, what's going to ever happen to the devil? Here's what's going to happen to him. He's going to be bound 1,000 years during that millennial reign. That's going to be wonderful. But then after that, God's going to loose him and go out just to test and try people. And then what's going to happen to him? He's going to be cast into the lake of fire himself. Listen. Listen what's going to happen to him. He's going to be tormented. Listen. Right on and on and on. I'm glad he is. And that's the second death. Whosoever not found written in the book of life shall be cast into the lake of fire. And the question is this morning, is your name in the book of life? Because you know people's going to try to get there. Oh, Lord, mine's got to be in there. It's on the church roll. He ain't looking at the church roll. You hear me? He's looking at that. He's going, he knows. We can write your name down and somebody can write mine down. That ain't going to get you in heaven. You got to be born again. You got to have your sins washed in the blood. You got to have your name written in heaven. Hallelujah. That's it. You got to have it there. Praise God. Yep. Praise God. I'm glad God's good, ain't he? He's wonderful. He's glorious. Well, probably read more than what we can contain now. But you know what? I can tell some of you glad you're on your way to heaven. Hallelujah. And you know what? We ought to be shouting about it. Two things. Look what you're going to miss. Another thing, look what you're going to gain. What a wonderful day. Hallelujah. So death and hell was cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. You see, you heard me say a lot of times, a lot of people don't ever think of no kind of death but physical death. But there are three of them I know at least. One of them is spiritual death. If you've never been born again, you're still in that condition. You may be alive physically, and you are if you're here, but you still can be dead spiritually. Ephesians 2:1, you have been quickened who were dead in trespasses and sins. Do you know before I got converted and fuller to save me, I was dead in a doornail inside. I was dead in trespasses and sins. I had that old, listen, all that's all I had. But thank God, listen, I got born again. And many of you did. Got the new birth, new life from Christ. Isn't that wonderful? That's a good life in Christ. And so that's a spiritual death. There's a physical death. We see that all the time. We see that all the time. Aunt Eusmer died this week. Funeral's going to be Thursday at 11 o'clock at Little Rock. So you pray for them. Visitation Wednesday night. So you pray for that family. Physical death is that death. But there's another death. That's the eternal death. That's what it said. The lake of fire. That's what it is. Cast into the lake of fire, which is the second death. That's why you heard people say, if you die, if you've been born once, you'll die twice. If you're born twice, you ain't gonna die but once. We still got to put off these old bodies. I don't know about you. I can tell the last few years, I don't think I want to keep this one through eternity. Huh? We're going to lay her down one day. It'll be translated. It'll be the moment twinkling an eye. It's old corruption going to put off. It's going to put on incorruption. It's going to put off his corruption, put on incorruption. This old mortal is going to put on immortality. Hallelujah. No, I don't want to carry this body into eternity. I won't know how. Glory to God. I'm going to get a new one. But I want to tell you something. I tried to set before you by the grace of God this morning the two worlds that are waiting on us at the end. There's so much difference between heaven and hell. Listen, everything different. First and in hell, in heaven we drank freely from the fountain of the living waters. Hallelujah. You know what? It's awful. I believe it's going to be awful. Did you know when if a drunkard don't get converted, he still got that thirsting when he dies. And if he, and listen, he dies and goes to hell, I'm going to tell you something. In hell, he'll still have that thirst. He'll still have that want, but he won't ever to be able to grab it and satisfy it and try to satisfy it. No way. It's, you think about it. All the things that people depend on in this life, not all, but many of them, to bring satisfaction, try to give them peace, try to give them courage. Oh, no, no. Listen, that won't be down there. It's a place, what I've read about, completely torment, destruction, awful. And I'm going to tell you something, church. I hope and pray this morning that God sink this in, I said, our hearts, that we won't ever forget. Listen, where people are going if they don't know Jesus. That's why if God lays on your heart, you'll see somebody do it. Sometimes God lay on my heart. I find out somebody's in the hospital. One thing I want to go, I want to see how they're doing. But I want to see how they're doing besides the physically, honestly. Because I want to know if they don't come out of that hospital alive, that they know Jesus. That they know Jesus. And that's the only way you can get to the paradise we want to go to. Be with Christ. Would you stand with me this morning?